Lake Effect continues on WUWM. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. A lot has been made of the achievement gap between white and African-American students in Wisconsin in general and Milwaukee in particular. By several key measures, like on-time graduation rate, Wisconsin's black-white disparities in education are the highest in the country.
Last year, the State Department of Public Instruction crafted a plan to cut the achievement gap in half. It's a plan that was required under federal education policy. Separate from that plan, a study released recently indicates Milwaukee is moving towards reducing that achievement gap. The Promise of Place report from the Campaign for Black Male Achievement cites the city's investments in the effort in placing Milwaukee in the top third of cities around the country.
Chris Rutherford is one of the study's authors, and he joined us by phone. Thank you for taking a few minutes to talk.
Thank you for having me.
Can you explain the significance of what we're talking about when we talk about the Promise of Place?
Absolutely. So this week, we're excited to launch Promise of Place, Building Beloved Communities for Black Men and Boys, which is the second edition of a report that gauges city-level commitment to Black males, and it also outlines clear action steps to make further strides. The new report is finding that cities have increased investment in action for Black men and boys in, across the U.S. since its first edition, which was published in late 2015. And CBMA has a mission to build beloved communities across America where Black men and boys are healthy, thriving, and enabled to achieve to their fullest potential.
How are you seeing momentum at this point in time? Are we at a tenuous time for this work?
We are at a tenuous time. However, over the last several years, we've had some good news based on the information that we gleaned from our initial report in 2015. And so we are happy with the findings that we have from the report. And some of our key findings are that 62% higher level of engagement across all 50 cities. We find that there's a 92% of the 50 cities scored have now accepted the My Brother's Keeper community challenge, which was started by former President Barack Obama. And then we also know that our own membership has increased over 13%. And then we've identified other cities that have gained momentum and ground, like Jackson, Mississippi, Seattle, Washington, Omaha, and Mobile, Alabama. So we're just seeing a lot of engagement across the country with regard to providing resources for Black men and boys.
Well, and so as you compile this report, you know, which ranks how various cities did, were there concrete steps that each of the cities that scored the highest seemed to share?
Yes, absolutely. And so there are concrete things that cities can do that to increase their score of engagement. And one of those things is very simple, to sign on to the My Brother's Keeper pledge. Other things are to move towards the foundation community, which and engaging them in a asset-based narrative while as they fund work for Black men and boys throughout their cities. In addition, there are organized efforts which should take place on the ground or can take place on the ground, whether it be committed group organizations such as holding community summits around issues favoring Black men and boys, and then just galvanizing the community and the organizations within those communities that are already serving this population and that are doing great work.
Well, and so in the study, Milwaukee scored in the top quarter, or at least the top third of the cities you studied. The report mentions that this is a building block city. What does that distinction represent?
So a building block city is one of the cities that we identify as a city where things are growing, and they're growing fairly rapidly for this type of work. And so this is a city that we can look to and say, what have you done? What can, if I were another city, what can I come and see in your work? And how can we model it in our own city?
Well, and so along those lines, what did you find that Milwaukee is doing especially well?
So Milwaukee has increased its number one thing is its financial investment. And the other thing that they've done within their school system is to create Black and Latino male achievement department. And this is a departure from where it was during our first survey in terms of their level of engagement. They held their first Black Male Achievement Summit back in February. And this is just a groundswell of things that are happening because of the great work of the people in Milwaukee and their commitment to resolving the issues and the disparities around their Black male engagement.
Do you see this as more a measure of promise or accomplishment at this point?
So absolutely. It's part of the promise, but it's definitely a measure of accomplishment because now you have cities and school districts who are having this conversation that probably never had this conversation in this matter. Before you have communities, and when I say communities, I mean community-based organizations who are now coming together and rallying around this effort to make sure that their activities are focused to delivering the best services they can to communities that have Black men and boys. And so we also see the accomplishments, but we are nowhere near the finish line. And so these are obviously baby steps toward what really needs to happen. But we're excited because people are focusing, people are realizing the necessity for this work, and they're doing a deep dive into it themselves. And what we do at CBMA or the Campaign for Black Male Achievement is that we make sure that these that we can support them in any way that we can.
Well, Chris Rutherford, thank you so much for your time and for helping walk us through this report.
Chris Rutherford is the Promise of Place program manager for the Campaign for Black Male Achievement.
Thank you very much.
The group's study pointed to an effort at Milwaukee Public Schools as an indication of the city's approach to reducing the achievement gap.
Dr. Juan Baez is the director of the Office of Black and Latino Male Achievement at MPS, and he joined us by phone as well. It's nice to meet you. Thanks for taking a few minutes to talk.
Thank you for having me, Mitch.
So what is the ultimate objective of your department within Milwaukee Public Schools?
So ultimately, you know, our objective for the Department of Black and Latino Males is really twofold. One is we want to work collaboratively with city, internally with the school district, to create the structures, the systems, and the pathways necessary to ensure the success for our Black and Latino male students. We envision a time being where our Black and Latino young men graduate from high school not only on time, but with a sense, an ability to embrace who they are as young people, their identity. But to also have the academic skills to navigate life and have the options that before them to navigate life.
How are the issues that you're working on specific to boys? Why is this an Office of Black and Latino Male Achievement versus just Black and Latinos?
Right. When we look at our data here in Milwaukee Public Schools, and we look at a variety of different data points from graduation rates to suspensions to office discipline referrals to proficiency rates, our Black and Latino males are consistently at the bottom or the top of lists that they should not be at the top or bottom of. And so through this notion of targeted universalism, we believe that if we specifically target them and ensure that success for them, over time, we will serve as the tide that lifts all boats.
What do you mean by targeted universalism?
So when we talk about targeted universalism, is the approach that by targeting specifically on a particular groups of or demographics, by identifying and developing and implementing best practices over time, those best practices are also going to help all students.
Now, when you were talking about your list of objectives, the first one that you mentioned was this collaborative approach. Why is that such a key part of the equation?
Collaboration is essential. You know, in Milwaukee, when you think about being one of the most segregated cities in the country, when you think about Wisconsin being one of the worst states for Black students, we know that this is something we all have to own in the city of Milwaukee, whether it's at the city level, at the state level, whether it's Milwaukee Public Schools, the county of Milwaukee. This is work that we all have to own and be a part of. And so that collaboration is not only internal to Milwaukee Public Schools and the systems that exist here, but also at the city level, also at the state level. We really got to address the disproportionalities that exist and create the opportunities for our Black and Latino male students to be successful, because when they're successful, Milwaukee's going to be successful.
Within the idea of collaboration, though, what about the idea of coordination? Does there need to be one group that's leading the way in this, and is that MPS?
And I think that's definitely. So I would agree with MPS serving as a hub, and that's been some of our initial work when it comes to coordinating with city efforts, state efforts, and even national efforts through one of our core partnerships with the Campaign for Black Male Achievement. But at the same time, we know that there are entities that have been engaged in this work. So it's not about co-opting work that anyone's doing, but it's really, as you said, coordinating and being aligned in the effort so we can have maximum impact.
Well, and as far as that goes, you're in a situation in which every place, all the stakeholders, MPS and the other groups, are only with boys and young men for so many hours within the day. How do you ensure that there's kind of this seamless effort to, have an impact on someone, whether it's during the school day or during a weekend or evening?
Well, when you talk about our young men being in schools, they're there 40 hours a week. That's a big chunk of time. At the same time, they engage in communities, whether it's through Boys and Girls Club and other after-school opportunities. And so having the same message, having the same types of expectations, putting in front of them the opportunities to be successful, and really showcasing the narrative of what our Black and Latino males are capable of doing is critical to that effort.
You've been in this role for about 6 months at this point. Can you talk about what the office has achieved in those 6 months and what you're looking at doing, say, in the next 6 months down the road?
Definitely. I wonder if I have enough time to tell you everything we've done. So I try to be high level. Our first 100 days was really about connecting with folks at the city level nationally and also connecting with our schools. And so over the first 100 days of our existence, we did a lot of listening to our young men. We visited around 20-plus schools, both high schools and middle schools, speaking to over 500 students and really helping us get a lay of the land in terms of what they believe to be the needs that they have and the issues that face them. As I mentioned, in connecting with local partners, potential partners, and national partners, learning what are those best practices, what's happening, what's going on, that we can support, be a part of, or help align to benefit our Black and Latino males here in Milwaukee Public Schools. From that work, we developed 6 priority strategies. One of them is the implementation of the Manhood Academies, which will take place at about 4 sites coming in 2018-2019 school year.
Right. Can you tell us a little bit about those?
Definitely. So the Manhood Academies are designed to, first, they're going to be coursework at the high school level and similar course at the middle school level, designed to really embrace the culture, identity, and history of Black and Latino male students, layering that with academics. And so right now it looks to be a social studies elective course. Layered with that experience, however, will be internship opportunities, mentorship opportunities, and what we're calling missions or field experiences to really expose them to areas outside of Milwaukee and even within Milwaukee that oftentimes our young men don't get a chance to experience. Critical to this will be our instructor who will have a different role than a typical teacher tends to have, because they'll be a central figure in coordinating those efforts at the school level in respects to internship, in respects to mentorship, based on our 12 guiding principles, but also having the opportunities to be near peer mentors, as we're calling it, to other younger folks within the community as well. So the Manhood Academy is not only about what we can give to our Black and Latino males, but also what they can give back to their communities as well.
Now, I don't know what you were like when you were in high school, but I seem to remember being a high school boy and thinking that I already knew everything. Is there a trick to doing this in such a way that it doesn't feel like just another class to these kids?
Well, I don't know if it's I will call it a trick, but definitely, the strategy is taking their voice and helping, as a critical piece to shaping that experience. And we've done that through the listening sessions as part of our implementation phase at the 4 pilot sites. We will have another range, not only a kind of recruitment effort, but also an information effort, a listening session effort, so that they also have a chance to not only learn more about the Manhood Academies, but ways that they can shape them. I think also being culturally responsive is going to be a critical piece, understanding that Black and Latino males tend to learn differently than typical Eurocentric models. And so being able to provide a learning environment that not only embraces who they are from a cultural standpoint, but also from a learning standpoint, and then layering that through those experiential experiences that connect what they learn in the classroom to the real world.
The office has been in place for only a few months. These are, of course, issues that didn't just surface overnight.
Correct.
How do you balance your expectations in terms of what you can accomplish with what the community demands? I mean, yeah, I'm sure there are people out there that want things to change overnight, and it seems like, you know, given how long these issues have been out there, they're not going to change overnight.
Right. And, you know, I definitely agree with that. Definitely didn't get here, you know, in a year or two. We probably won't get out of the needs that we have and face in a year or two as well. And so I think it's definitely balancing the urgency of the now with the systems that we essentially have to break down and rebuild to better serve our Black and Latino male students. But that's why this work is critical, that we all own it, right? That collective impact is critical to this work taking off, speaking the same language, having the same expectations for our young men, illuminating and really lifting our Black and Latino males in a way that we don't tend to do around narrative, for example, is critical. The media plays a huge part in how we portray our young men and the examples that they see of themselves. And so really highlighting those stories as well is going to be critical to this work.
Now, the national report that just came out was very complimentary to Milwaukee for this plan being in place. How will you measure success going forward?
We're going to measure success, you know, quantitatively in terms of the numbers. We definitely want our young men graduating from high school on time. Right now, you know, our Black male students are graduating at about 49.5%, and our Latino male students are about 57%, far below not only our district average but the state average. So we definitely want them graduating on time. We also want them to have more effective connections to their schools, right? So how do we layer the expectations for, you know, our students being at school, number one, and having those connections to their school, making sure that once they're there, those experiences are conducive to learning and make them want to be there. And then also the qualitative piece, you know, what are the stories of our young men that highlight the impact that this is having? You know, as an example, you know, we've had young men talk to us about having to navigate who they are versus who they need to be in school because they're, who they are is not embraced. You know, we've had some of our young men talk to us about teachers not understanding where they come from, both culturally and socioeconomically. And so those are things that we have to change for the experience of our young people to be better and more successful in the classroom.
Well, Dr. Juan Baez, I hope we can visit with you again as this work moves forward.
Definitely.
Thank you so much for your time and for your insight, and hope we talk again soon.
Thank you, Mitch. And anyone that wants to learn more, they could give me a call. We'll be more than happy to meet and talk to them.
Juan Baez is the director of the Office of Black and Latino Male Achievement. You'll find a link to the Promise of Place report from the Campaign for Black Male Achievement at WUWM.com.